Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking a lot more about the later stages of recovery. So this episode may not be particularly helpful necessarily for everyone. If you're very early on in your journey, or if you're currently working through more complex protocols, then this is hopefully a taste of things to come. I'm sure everybody wants to be in the later stages of their recovery or fully recovered. So it may still be helpful to listen to this episode. There might still be themes or learnings or understandings that you can begin to integrate now that may actually be very helpful in the long term. But today we're really going to be talking about the fine-tuning stage of recovery. And the title I've chosen for this episode is When You're Mostly Better, But You're Not Fully Stable Yet. And if you have been listening, perhaps across the past few episodes, I've shared quite vulnerably about some of the things that I have been experiencing recently and some ups and downs as I navigate more recalibration in my system. That's really where the inspiration for this episode comes from. Before we go into the episode, as always, I'd just love to invite you to leave a review for the podcast if you haven't already. You can leave a rating on Spotify. You can leave a rating on iTunes. Your ratings help to improve the podcast ratings as a whole. And then that means that more people find the podcast and more people can potentially get the help that they need. Now, this chronic illness community is traditionally very underserved. And so for people to have access to useful information, at least I hope this information is useful, does a lot for elevating the awareness and the growth and the progress of the community as a whole. So I'd really appreciate if you could take a moment to do that now. But otherwise, let's go into the episode. And so let's just start by setting the scene, which is to say that there's a stage in recovery that many people reach where things are much better than they once were, but they aren't quite where they want to be. These people might be functioning really well again. They might be working or studying. They might be doing some exercise. They might be participating in life pretty normally. And sometimes I do say, like, I have some clients who are like this, who are actually quite highly functional. And sometimes I think it's one of the most challenging places to be in many ways, because it's so easy to let life to continuously take over. Even though these people might be highly functioning, they might be really fully out in the world, there may sometimes be this sense of not being completely stable yet. And this might show as fluctuating energy levels, maybe increased sensitivity or ongoing sensitivity to stress or total life load, and occasional symptom waves that reappear. Either, you know, they can be really good stretches with no symptoms, and then symptoms can return. And so often this stage can feel quite confusing, because especially if you've come from a place where you were maybe bedbound or housebound or severely ill, you know you've done a lot of work, you know you've come a really long way, but you're not completely free of symptoms either. You cannot live your life just with complete freedom to do whatever you want. And so this is what we will call the fine-tuning stage of recovery. So here it's really important to acknowledge that recovery isn't one, well, it is one continuous process, but it's also broken down into stages. And each stage has a different emphasis and a different focus. So for example, early on in your recovery journey, the priority might be stabilization. This is where we're trying to remove excess stress and excess load on the system so that the body actually has a chance to find some sort of sense of stability. And I talk all the time about these stabilizing variables, stabilizing your nervous system, stabilizing your blood sugar, stabilizing your routine and circadian rhythm, making sure you have a stable sleep pattern, pacing, and then managing inflammation in the body. And the whole point in this initial stage of recovery is not necessarily to have more energy, but to stabilize the energy that you do already have. So often this stage of recovery is experienced as not necessarily having more capacity, but having more stability. And that is the benchmark of progress. Once we have stability in the system, we can then move on to the next phase of recovery, which is the restoration stage. This is where we're now starting to repair the body. If there's certain systems that need repairing, we're starting to grow capacity. We're starting to expand a little bit more. Various systems are coming back online. There's more integration between systems. Things are working better in the body. And there's this idea of things gaining momentum and progressing, but there can still be at times limited capacity. There can still be various ups and downs. What we might see at this stage is that symptoms also begin to reduce, but they still might be fluctuating in and out. So obviously capacity may continue to grow and continue to grow and continue to grow. And then this third stage is when we have this fine-tuning calibration or recalibration phase. And this is when the individual is actually highly functional and they've maybe returned to life. They can regulate a certain amount of life load with a degree of consistency. But people in this phase may often find themselves still quite sensitive to things that are adjusted. So for example, I use this example of my own life recently where I had foreign travel, long haul travel, changes in my menstrual cycle. Well, just not necessarily my menstrual cycle changing, but going from the luteal phase into the follicular phase, transitioning from a hot climate to a cold climate, very cold temperature in the water, which I went swimming in, not necessarily being well fed at the time because I just got back from traveling and hadn't quite got into a good routine with my diet again. Going back to work after some time off over the Christmas holidays, and then additional stresses and strains, like I had problems with my car, which meant I was going backwards and forwards to the garage, dropping my car off, walking home, going back, walking back to collect it several times in the rain in January, no sunlight. Then a cat that got sick, some heavy emotional processing coming up. So, you know, all of these things sort of stacking up, and that asks my system to recalibrate to a different load. And it's not that necessarily, you know, any one of these things is particularly challenging for me, but it's like all of the things landing at the same time and the body going, well, this isn't a load that we've had to adjust to so far. So there needs to be some sort of recalibration that takes place. And that's something I spoke about a few episodes ago. So earlier in recovery, the focus, as I've already said, is on stability and then repair and restoration within the system. But then, and as we're doing that, we're, you know, looking at the nitty gritty. This is, you know, when clients would usually come and see me and they're doing their testing. We're identifying possible sources of inflammation. We're identifying possible sources of nutrient depletion. We're looking for infections or immune dysregulation, like people who maybe have mold or they have gut infections or they're just chronically immune compromised. They're getting constant colds and their immune system is a little bit out of balance. Or there can also be very, very limited capacity of the nervous system, a very narrow window of tolerance, and they're really getting stuck in freeze or stuck in sympathetic activation for extended periods of time. And as someone works through these things, they become more functional, and then we have to focus more on how the system distributes load across daily life. So we're not necessarily at this stage about going in to fix a single problem. We're not really helping the nervous system to stabilize, or we're not addressing the gut infection, or we're not detoxing mold, or we're not trying to get the nutrient levels back up again. Once we get to the fine-tuning stage of recovery, the work shifts from repair to calibration. We're not working in that detailed, oriented, nitty-gritty of the physiology and biochemistry, but the details matter. So it's less about fixing a single problem, but and more about helping the system to calibrate to more life load. And this is why small inputs start to matter more, because at this stage, people often notice that smaller variables influence how they feel. So for example, they haven't slept well, they really notice that. If they've done a very intensive day at work and they've been using their brain a lot, there's a lot of cognitive load, they really feel that. A big emotional stress comes in, whether that is something big that you're working through in a therapy session, or whether that is some sort of life stress. I shared as well on the podcast previously, my stepdad passed away last year. That was a big emotional stress load. And then I've been supporting my mom through that process of grieving, which is also another big emotional stress load, which in hindsight, I really felt I didn't really acknowledge it, how big it was, until things had sort of settled a bit more. Travel disruption, or exercise intensity can really be felt, and hormonal shifts can be felt. And this can be particularly tricky for people who are recovering, especially, should I say, women who are recovering in the latter half of their 30s and early 40s into their 50s, where the hormonal landscape is shifting more aggressively than in the younger years. So it's not to say that we don't experience destabilization from all of these things in the earlier stages of recovery. We definitely do. We all know in the earlier stages of recovery, your sleep quality causes a big crash, or a big emotional stress can cause a big crash, or you try to exercise, you overdo it, you really feel it, or you might get some big crashes around your menstrual cycle. So often in the earlier stages of recovery, these inputs are completely overwhelming. Now, they don't overwhelm the system as much, but they're still capable of influencing the system. And often, because we can get away with one, we neglect to notice the stacking. So what I mean by this is, we have a bad night's sleep. We could probably deal with a bad night's sleep in the later stages of recovery. But sometimes we neglect to see, oh, I had that bad night's sleep. And then there was also that stressful day at work. And then there were those intense conversations about money with my partner. And because we know we can handle these things now in isolation, sometimes we don't always notice how they stack up in the system. And sometimes it can also feel really surprising, but even though these things are not completely throwing us out of whack, there's this very, I want to say, subtle sensitivity to them. But I think the subtleness is not that subtle when you actually notice it. And when you connect to your body more, you actually go, whoa, even though that conversation about finances with my partner didn't completely floor me like it might have done in the past, there is actually a lot of disturbance happening in my nervous system as a consequence of that. And at least this has been my experience, is that the more healing work I've done, I've actually become more sensitive. Not so much that my sensitivity has changed, but I'm actually just so much more aware of how sensitive I am. And that, again, is a new pattern that has to be regulated through. As you can imagine, this stage would feel pretty frustrating, because from the outside, everything looks so much better. And especially, for our loved ones, the outsiders looking in, they just think you're better. They don't necessarily understand that there can still be this really large mental load of making decisions around pacing, of navigating symptom fluctuations, especially if that's around your menstrual cycle, if you're becoming perimenopausal. there can be a lot of fluctuations going in. And there can still be an uncertainty here about capacity. So there's still this little, that little like niggle that in your back of your mind, which can be very draining, you know, thinking, is there going to be enough? Is there going to be enough energy here? It can feel really frustrating because we might just think, well, I've done so much work. I've come this far. Why isn't my body more stable now? And so here it's really important to acknowledge that the nervous system and the physiology often need time to learn new regulatory patterns. And the fastest way is always slow, because our body is constantly adapting and adjusting, and new connections are being made and new things are being regulated. And the reason we can't do it all at once is because if we tried to do it all at once, it would be so overwhelming for our system. So in the earlier stages of recovery, the nervous system can feel a lot more rigid. There can be this tendency to get stuck in sympathetic activation or to get stuck more in a freeze-type response. And we can get stuck there for days, for weeks. Whereas as the nervous system learns how to regulate again and there's more of a pendulation between activation states, there can be more flexibility in the system, which means that small triggers can cause big responses. And over time, as we learn more flexibility, those same small triggers don't cause as big a response, and the body learns more regulation under load. However, this isn't a magical process that just happens. It happens through trial and error. It happens through gentle titration. It happens through experimentation. And it happens through moments of expansion and moments of contraction. And even though that landscape can be a lot more chaotic in the earlier stages of recovery, we're still navigating that as life continues to expand. And we are still navigating that even when we feel really well, as more load is added just as we work through the natural fluctuations of life. This is where it's important to acknowledge that progress is really linear. And even in the later stages of recovery, it is also really linear. It very seldom follows a straight line. People can experience weeks of stability. People can experience temporary dips. People can experience symptom waves, and they can experience renewed improvement. And these fluctuations can feel discouraging, but they are actually part of how your nervous system is learning to recalibrate. And the system is learning how to adapt to different loads as we add more load into life. And if you're someone like me and you're constantly looking to do more and achieve more and set physical goals and progress your career while you also have aging parents and sick cats and broken down cars, there's always going to be more life load that we have to learn to calibrate through. But the hope is that life is not always so intense all the time. We go through these clusters of intensity, and then hopefully things do ease off and we get more of a break. And what we may notice when we get that easing off and that break period is that we have a renewed sense of wellness and vitality from the recalibration to the previous load. So one of the most important skills in this phase is load distribution. Not simply how much someone does, but how activities are also structured across time. And this involves that wonderful balancing act I'm sure we're all very familiar with, of balancing physical load, balancing cognitive load, balancing emotional stress, balancing social activity, and also giving your body what it needs to recover. Because doing stuff and then resting and then doing stuff and resting is not only reserved for people who have chronic illness, but it is also reserved for normal individuals who are living a healthy and well-balanced life. We cannot build, or we cannot expect ourselves to have robot bodies. And I think I said this in a previous episode, is that a robot body just goes about everything, does everything, and there's no movement or pendulation or flexibility. It just do. And that's not a realistic expectation for anyone. That's probably how we got here in the first place. So we do want to give space for life, and we also want to acknowledge that we are constantly doing this dance with life, and it's really important that we give the body what it needs. The final thing to mention here, or final few things to mention here, is that in this phase, often change is much more subtle. Like when you have been bedbound and you're finally able to move around the house, you know, that's a really dramatic shift. It's so noticeable. Or when you've been housebound and now you're doing your daily walks, that's really noticeable. But in this latter stage, there's a much more subtle shift. It might just be, oh, I'm sleeping just that little bit better, or I'm just tolerating my work day just that little bit more, or I'm able to do my workout and go to the supermarket after I've been to the gym. It's not too overwhelming to stack both together. So these changes may seem small, but they are what are gradually building greater system stability. And it requires a huge amount of patience. The fine-tuning phase requires a slightly different mindset, because it's less about fixing what's wrong, and it's more about focusing on what does my system need to function best. And this is where, you know, there can be this temptation sometimes. We want to go back to our old life and just live exactly the way that we lived before. But remembering that the way that we lived before was coming from a different program. And we're wanting to create a new program now. And that might mean that we have to nourish ourselves and nurture ourselves slightly differently to what we did pre-illness. And this is where self-awareness is really important. And really understanding your unique nervous system can be absolutely invaluable. So what I really want you to take away from today is, if you're in a place where life is largely functioning again, but your system still fluctuates sometimes, you're not alone. And maybe if I could give you the greatest gift from this episode, it would just be to normalize that, that many people move through this fine-tuning phase, and this fine-tuning phase can really go on for a long time. But as time goes on, there should be a sense of a little bit more consistency, a little bit more stability, little by little, over months, maybe even over years. Again, just to reiterate that recovery isn't about getting your old life back. It's about learning how your system works best so that stability becomes sustainable over time. And when we go through these recalibration waves, that we go through these brief periods of relapse, it's really just communication. The body's saying, that was a lot. That was too much. I needed more time to process that. Or I just didn't get what I need. And therefore we learn, and therefore we adjust, and we move forward, and hopefully we move forward with more resilience and renewed energy, and little by little, life continues to expand.